Sisters, sisters, there were never such devoted sisters. Never had to have a chaperone, no sir. I'm here to keep my eye on her.
Hi, this is Tammy.
And this is Anjali, and we are the podcast with
Sisters.
Good morning. We have Dr. Katrina Lewis here with us today. She has been on the podcast with us in the past, and we would love to have her introduce herself this morning and talk about something that's really useful for everyone, but the topic that we're going to discuss today. So, hello, Katrina.
Hi, Tammy and Anjali. Such a pleasure and an honor to be back on your podcast.
We're excited to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's pretty exciting for me too. I guess for people who haven't heard the podcast with me previously, I'm a physician, MD, grew up in South Africa, did my medical school there. Did my medical school and also got a degree in immunology and physiological chemistry when I was there because I was a major nerd.
Nerds are good people.
I mean, I
might be putting myself in that category, which, you know.
Right, exactly. Nerds unite.
Yes, but, we do.
So, and then the various... did emergency medicine, worked off a scholarship, did some surgery, started a surgery residency, and, you know, for a number of reasons, just really decided I needed to just pop overseas and kind of see what I really wanted to do, because I'd gone to medical school very young, and I wasn't sure that I was actually happy in the surgery residency. So landed up going over to England and doing locums all around England, mostly emergency medicine and surgical locums, and then did the Love Boat Doctor cruise ship thing for quite some time. Had a fabulous journey.
Got found your love on the Love Boat.
Found my love on the Love Boat and got to travel the whole world. And we had marvelous medical facilities. We were actually top of the line. We were probably had better equipment capabilities and some urgent cares, and it was just a fascinating period of my life. But then the fun had to end, and I knuckled down and went into a anesthesiology residency at University of Miami, followed by a pain fellowship, interventional pain fellowship, which is, for people who don't know, that's where you learn to do all the spinal cord stimulators, epidurals, radio frequencies, different kinds of nerve blocks. It's a really fascinating subspecialty of anesthesia, and it was my passion. So did my fellowship in Massachusetts, and then went into full-time pain management for many years. Both ultrasound and x-ray guided, got into all the new fabulous things like regenerative medicine and a lot of the ultrasound guided treatments and more unusual types of radio frequency and cryoablation and things like this. And then also, because of one of the blocks that I did, that I was comfortable with, landed up running a PTSD business for some time, treating patients with PTSD, and I developed my own very unique protocol that was successful. Everything came to a crashing halt last year when I was diagnosed with the stage 4 cancer. Initially, I did want to keep working, but at a certain point, you have to say it's time to do something different and enjoy life and do different things. So that's what I'm doing. And it's a good thing I did. My journey, like for every cancer patient, can be quite tumultuous. Last year definitely had its ups and downs, I, after coming out of hospital, because I had an infected pleural effusion that had become what was called loculated, which means you have to drain it in a very specific way. It damaged my right lung. So, but then all the effusion just stopped and most of the cancer disappeared. And a lot was obviously all of the natural things that I was doing at that time. But then the markers started coming up again. And so since July, the problem is it started in my good lung, the same pleural effusion. So that's been a battle, and it accumulated to the extent that there was a very close call of getting to the hospital and getting treatment. And so since the last time I spoke to you guys, and I'm still very, very holistic, there's been so much more I've learned along the way. I went to Hope for Cancer in Mexico. I wouldn't recommend that facility to anybody unless they're stage one or two. I don't think they are equipped for stage three and four. And that's things you learn right along the way. Even with all the knowledge you have, and there's a lot of these clinics in Mexico, and a lot of them do great work. But they all have great websites. They all have certain things. But I, you know, through the retrospectoscope and with what I've learned, and obviously I didn't improve there at all, I've learned that there are other places that are very good. And, you know, we want to talk about that later, we can. But I have gone on to a completely new regimen, but I did bring back in ivermectin, which I believe was contributory to my cancer going into remission. And there's actually a lot of data now about that. But actually the fibendazole, the mebendazole, the niclosamide, most of the integrative oncology conferences and kind of experts in the field talk about the link between parasites and fungus in cancer and how it almost acts like a microorganism itself. It doesn't like high oxygen. It doesn't like hypothermia. Can only live on sugar. So yeah. So I'm in a little bit of a holding pattern, but I'm seeing some improvement now every day and hoping to get the recurrence under control and back in remission. And it's what I said to you guys years ago. It's cancer is a chronic disease. It's just been very frightening and anxiety provoking when it affects your breathing. Mm-hmm. And I guess for people when it affects pain, I've been lucky enough not so far not to have that. But I think there's just so much fear around the whole concept of cancer. And so there's a lot of avenues and approaches one has to take to deal with that.
Well, and as you spoke before the intro, talking about the unknown, what's going to happen, not only day to day, but what does next year look like? What does the future hold? That's a already anxiety ridden for many people. But when you really don't know with your health, what will the next day bring? Will I be in the hospital? Will I be able to breathe? That fear of waking up and not being able to breathe, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
How do you cope with that? How do you bring yourself to a place of what I consider you to be such a zenful person and just so calming for others? When you're the one that has to be calmed, it's a whole different place that you have to put yourself. You're used to being the one that heals. You're used to being the one that cares, the one that tells people how to calm down. And now it's you in that seat. How does that feel for you?
It feels pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
It takes a bit of getting used to. I haven't beaten up on myself for being anxious because I think in terms of what happened, it's a reasonable anxiety. There's a rationality to it. However, when it gets overlaid with panic attacks, that's when one starts to become irrational. And I never really, although obviously a lot of my PTSD patients did suffer from real panic attacks. I'd never truly understood how that feels until these last couple of months. So I think you kind of look at everything, and I start with, I find mine is a little different because I had this fear of going to sleep because of what had happened. Now, because I use a CPAP, not for sleep apnea, but to keep my lower airways open, it's been amazing. So I'm getting good sleep. There's no longer that fear. But the nighttime, when I see the night, I can feel myself tense up. So you can go to basic, simple things. Have a good buddy and watch some great movies together, TV series. That helps. I used to love books on Audible until a couple of months ago, and I still do. But I think I may start, you know, I have friends visiting at the moment, so I'm not going to sit listening to my book and ignoring them. But I think that's a good one to do. There's an app that someone showed me called Aura. So sometimes I'll go, they have meditations and life coachings and prayer stuff and just soundscapes, all kinds of things. So I find, and you can kind of customize it. Some of that is very good. I think getting back to fundamentals, deep, deep breathing every hour, just take a few moments to just really breathe in and out and take some deep breaths, is very, very helpful. Going out in nature, I'm lucky enough to have a balcony I can pop onto and look at the waves and hear the waves, and that's very soothing. I always find that soothes me, but going somewhere beautiful in nature. I think that if you're getting to the stage, and you're talking for cancer patients, where you are developing these anxieties, they really can become quite overwhelming and interfere with a lot of your life. And so asking your primary care, not being afraid to say, look, can I have some Xanax? And I'm like the last person that would ever push a pharmaceutical, but some of them definitely are, you know, were very worthwhile. Xanax is a benzodiazepine. It can be addictive for some people, but that's if you take it a lot. But for people with true panic disorder, it's a miracle drug because it works within a couple of minutes, but then it wears out of your system as well in 20 minutes. But it just gives you that 20 minutes. And I've taken it once or twice, and you don't, it's not like this rush of euphoria. You just suddenly, whatever that beating in your chest, that kind of just almost like you want to jump out of your skin, it's like everything just calms down. And your brain just, your brain, you can almost feel your brain relaxing. It's, but you don't get sleepy. So it truly is something that's actually very important. Most of the time, I just carry it with me as a, it's like my little safety net. It's like a
diabetic plan.
Diabetic with their, you know, thing of orange juice or whatever, if their blood sugar drops. But, you know, I try not to use it.
I think it's important you mentioned talk to your primary care physician, because a lot of people don't, you know, they're afraid to say, I'm feeling anxious, I need help. what is out there. And I think it's very important not only to surround yourself with, you know, people who care about you and people who are wonderful and can make you laugh, but it's hard as humans, and especially I think hard as women, to reach out to someone who's not very close to you and be able to say, this is what I'm feeling. I need help. And I think that's an important, when you just, you mentioned talk to your primary care physician. I wanted to point that out because communication is key.
Yes, it is. I mean, unfortunately, some people don't have very nice primary care. I've got an amazing one, but he doesn't work for a big hospital.
So find an amazing primary care physician. Number one, find an amazing one.
Usually the ones who are independent and are not hooked up to a big hospital network are the ones that are much nicer. But anyway.
Well, and they have time to listen, right?
Yes.
That's the big
thing.
They're
busy too, but they care, and it's their business, and they have control over how they see patients. So, yes. What happened with my thing is I always try and take a friend with me, and she spoke up and she said, when I just briefly mentioned, could I just have a couple of tablets of Xanax to help me? My friend piped up and said, she's really anxious. She's just underplaying it. And then he wrote, you know, really good. So I think a patient advocate in the situations where you're feeling anxious, I think having obviously a good therapist is essential. If you really, you know, need to talk to somebody, but sometimes your closest family or friend can be a good therapist too. You know, whenever I start talking to people on the phone, it's like I'm completely distracted and happy, and I start smiling, even if I am short of breath. So there's energy medicine techniques that one can use as well. Kind of rubbing your hands together and putting your hands in your heart, tapping techniques that I think are very helpful.
Yeah. I use a lot of those with my clients.
Really?
A lot of those techniques, yeah. And the idea of giving tools that they can do on their own is a really key, because if you are alone, if you don't have somebody that's accessible right away, empowering yourself to have those techniques, those touch techniques. Touch is such a healing mechanism for everyone. And if you are, say you're in the hospital alone, your patient advocate or your loved one is not with you in the middle of the night, having those techniques is a really, really important aspect to making it through that evening or that day.
Yeah.
The other thing is asking for help. And I know Tammy touched on this and you touched on this a bit, but being able to take help as a caregiver in your, just looking at your story, you've always cared for others, not been cared for. And to be able to accept that, I imagine, was a very difficult transition for you to have that moment of, now I have to accept someone else's care. And I have to ask for it. I have to reach out and ask for it. You know, because people see you as so strong, just an amazing, strong woman who, look at what you've done. And I would imagine you need to reach out and ask people for help, that they, in the beginning, especially, assume that you're totally fine because you always have been. You've been such a strong force, right?
Right. Yeah. It's very, very difficult. And, you know, that's part of the anxiety. And what I find is that the anxiety does disempower you. And I know I'm a strong person. So when I feel that disempowerment, I just feel so fragile. So the other things that I've done is, one really has to have some kind of faith-based belief in a higher power. And I'm not picking on any one church or anything, but you just have to believe in God. And I think that's part of why going out in nature is so healing, because that's his divinity. And the divinity is within oneself too, and you can tap into it. I think I read something the other day about when you can make some of the subconscious conscious, your whole life will change for the better. So if you can know what's driving you in the subconscious, and that's why, like Neville Goddard is a very interesting writer. He has a lot of quotes. He talks about the power of prayer, and Joe Dispenza talks about the power of positive intention and energy. So your body is the cells communicate with biophotons and light. And then you've got all the electromagnetic energy. And that's why I do believe all these energy therapies and light therapies actually do work on our body. And on the flip side, why EMF is probably one of the most dangerous things ever invented. But you have to find a way to tap into that, and to draw power. But what I found is, in terms of my faith, I have some friends who walk me through things. I put an app on my phone. It's a Bible app, but it lets you choose all sorts of images, and then you can add a verse. If you read, because a particular verse in a Bible passage that speaks to you as either helping you feel that someone's there for you, helping you believe in God, helping you believe in your healing, giving you strength. You know, there's so many verses like that in the Bible. So then you create like this whole little library. And then I will sometimes go through those at night and read those quotes. And then I, in my notes section on my phone, when friends send me emails that are uplifting, or I read an uplifting quote from some, you know, I'll put it in there. So I have this whole lot of stuff that I can read that is really, really uplifting. And obviously, you know, one can put on music. Everybody's got different rituals. You know, if it was for someone who didn't have a lung problem, then exercise is probably doing some yoga, Pilates, that kind of thing. Will always help. I try to go to the swimming pool when I can. Swimming pools and being in water is my thing.
Well, and reviewing all of the aspects that we just went through, the visual, the audible, the supernatural, the higher power, you're touching all of the senses, right? So yeah. Coming in from different angles and really being able to tap into multiple ways to deal with it. There's not just one way, and each person is unique, but also within that situation, if you have multiple ways and multiple senses to touch on, that anxiety can be brought down a bit by different avenues, which is wonderful. And I'll follow up on this podcast with some techniques for breathing, some techniques for touch. We'll do a visual aspect as well, where I'll do some very simple exercise techniques of touch and heat, so that we can touch on some of the things that we're talking about in this podcast with you today, Katrina.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are so thrilled to have you back. And we really are excited to be able to share the hope. That's the big takeaway today, is that there is a need to ask for help and to be able to find hope in the small things and different avenues of being able to touch on what your needs are at any given moment, because they will change, is what I'm taking away from this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the there is always hope, and I think people have to focus, you know, trying to make your way through the whole panoply smorgasbord of what's available if you're treating yourself naturally or with conventional medicine or a combination. That probably stresses people out more than anything. I've started cutting down almost all my supplements because I think I've found a regimen that is going to work. Most stuff I try and take as tinctures or liquids. And I make sure I have a good smoothie every day where I put a lot of protein powder that has all sorts of amino acids, everything, and then a greens powder. I think getting back some kind of overall nutrition like that is really important. I don't think when people are anxious, I think a lot of times too that they're just not drinking enough. Mm-hmm. They're not hydrating.
Yes. They're not hydrating and they're going for sugar when you're anxious.
Yeah,
comfort food.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And then of course all of the fungus and everything, the germs you feed with the sugar and what it does to you metabolically, yeah. Doesn't help.
Yeah.
Well, Katrina, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on with us again. Oh, we appreciate
my
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for bringing us hope today and talking us through small snippets of how to get through the day with anxiety.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Yes.
Glad to
very
be here.
Much. You always make me smile. So now I'm smiling. Now I got a
well,
day of
likewise.
Smiling.
Likewise, you guys. I love you.
Thank
love
you.
You, Katrina.